We now present Dr. Bob Jones, Sr., internationally known evangelist and founder of Bob Jones University, who during his earthly ministry was one of God's great warriors for the faith.
I have many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. That's our Lord talking to his disciples. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. Now, I want you to notice how many times the personal pronoun is used there. He, see, not it, see. Don't ever speak of the Holy Spirit as it. The Holy Spirit's a person, just as much of a person as Jesus was a person. God the Father's a person, just as much as you're a person. The Holy Spirit's a person. There are things predicated to the Holy Spirit that could not be predicated with influence. For instance, it's possible to grieve him. You can't grieve an influence, you can grieve a person. It's possible to vex the Holy Spirit, according to the Bible. You can't vex an influence, you can vex a person. So he's a person. Now keep in mind, now the Lord Jesus Christ was going away, back to the Father, and he was going to send them the Holy Spirit, the third person to be saved in the Trinity, but he's one of the Trinity. He was coming. This is peculiarly the Holy Ghost dispensation. Now, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Jesus Christ came to this world, lived for probably 33 years, born of a virgin, walked around in human form, died on a cross, rose from the dead, went back to heaven. Now, this is peculiarly the Holy Ghost dispensation. Jesus is not here. Oh, of course, don't misunderstand me. I've said so many times, the Holy Spirit is Jesus. Of course, it's hard for our poor minds to grasp God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. But God is manifested now and revealed in this world in the person of the Holy Spirit. He's an unseen person. Now, when Jesus was here, you could touch him. You could even touch him after he rose from the dead. They ate with him after he rose from the dead. And he had a body, a literal body. Now, the Holy Spirit doesn't have that body. He clothes himself with you. He clothes himself with the bodies of people. The Holy Spirit comes down and dwells in the bodies of Christians. Now, if you were a saved person, if you were born again, the Holy Spirit is in your body. You're indwelt by the Holy Spirit. I'd like to say in passing, it's one thing to have the Holy Spirit in my body. It's another thing for the Holy Spirit to sit on the throne and hold authority over my body and control my thinking and my life and all I do. You know, we are to be filled with the Spirit that we may be victorious in this world of sin. And there is victory for us. You don't have to pray for a baptism of the Holy Spirit if you're a Christian. You pray for an infilling of the Spirit. We are baptized by one Spirit and one body. That's the way you became a Christian. You're put into the body of the Christ by the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And so you do have the Holy Spirit. There's one passage that's perfectly clear. If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, which is the Holy Spirit, he's none of his. You can't be saved without the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit convicts you of sin. The Holy Spirit regenerates you. The Holy Spirit takes up his abode in your body. Your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, Paul said to the Corinthians. I have yet many things to say to you, but you can't about bear them. Howbeit, when the Spirit of truth is come, he'll guide you in all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. Now we have there a basis for all of the prophecies of the New Testament, the prophecies of the epistles. Paul was converted in all the epistles that he wrote in the other epistles in the New Testament. He'll show you things to come. He'll tell you things that are not revealed to you. You can't bear them. I can only take you so far, see. But now let's go ahead and know these words. He shall glorify me. Now, isn't that interesting? Now, how can I know whether a movement is a movement of the Holy Spirit or not a movement of the Holy Spirit? If it's a movement of the Holy Spirit, I can notice it very definitely. He will glorify Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus was going to the Father. He's going to be raised from the dead. He's going to lay his body down, then go up to heaven. Now, the Holy Spirit glorifies Jesus Christ. He's not in this world to talk for himself. He's here to transact business for a risen Christ. The Holy Spirit is here in the world, transacting business for the Son of God who's up at the Father's right hand. He's here in the world testifying of Jesus Christ. Now remember that. He's not in the world testifying about an organization. He's not in the world magnifying ecclesiastical machinery. That's not the Holy Ghost. the more emphasis given to anything or anybody than is given to the Lord Jesus Christ is an indication of the low spiritual state of the world. Jesus Christ is to be exalted. He's to be magnified. His name's above all names. I heard a preacher some time ago preach a sermon, and all he did was to beg people to do something for the church. I sat with my heart weeping. Now here he was, asking people to do something for the church when he ought to be asking the church to do something for Jesus. See? Isn't it strange how far afield we drift, you know? Little by little, little by little. Now, you know, the church doesn't save people. If the church has saved Jesus Christ, will have to save the church. You know that so if you stop to think. Now, the Holy Spirit magnifies Jesus Christ. You've heard this story, I think I've told you, of a little boy in the hospital. And this little boy was operated on, and they thought he was going to die. And days passed, and one day the little boy looked up at the brilliant surgeon and said, "Doctor, I'm very well, doctor. Yes, I'm going to play with the boys again. Yes." He said, "Doctor, my mother will never hear the last of you. See? My mother will never hear the last of you." And on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came down, they never heard the last of Jesus. On that day, Peter stood up and charged them with this crime of crucifying the Son of God. Declared he had been raised from the dead, all through the Bible, emphasis over and over and over and over on Jesus Christ. And we drift along, you know, like an army in battle sometime, and it gets hot, you know, and you dig in and throw up breastworks and say, "We'll settle down now, see." Why, the early church didn't even have a church building. They didn't have a pipe organ. They didn't have a steeple. They were moving too fast. They were going places. They were out telling people Jesus Christ is not dead. Jesus Christ was crucified, buried. He rose from the dead. He's gone up to heaven. He'll be back sometime. And they went out shaking the foundations of the Roman Empire and turned the world upside down. They never built a church house. They didn't have any church buildings. They didn't have any organs, anything like that. And then after a while, the thing got hot, and they began to cut off their heads and kill all of them, you know. And somebody said, "We better dig in, you know." And they began to dig in. They built a nice church and settled down the world and began to talk churchianity to them. And dictatorial voices spoke out about ecclesiasticism. And the church became powerful and domineering, and some of the worst crimes ever known was committed in the name of organized Christianity. That's not of God. That's of the devil. Why, you know, a church isn't a building. A church is a group of born-again Christians assembled somewhere. A body of Christ. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, I'm in the midst of them. I'm in the midst of them. Two or three people assemble, Jesus meets with them. He's in the midst of them. And the Holy Spirit makes that thing real to you. Two or three are gathered in my name. If you're alone, you have the Holy Spirit in you, in your body. Out there fixing breakfast this morning, if you're a Christian. When you walked into that kitchen there, you were indwelt by the Holy Ghost. The person, the Holy Ghost, a person, an infinite personality, the omnipotent God. And that's the power of the resurrection. Jesus Christ was raised from the dead by the Holy Spirit. And you have resurrection power in your body. Your body has in it resurrection power. You have in your body the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead if you're a Christian, if you're under the blood, if you're born again, if you're saved. So now let's understand that. Now wait a minute. Men and women, it's too bad that we misunderstand the voices that cry out. I remember one time a man showed me a magnificent church, and I didn't blame him for liking it. It was a beautiful church. And I have no objection to that sort of thing. He went around there and told me how he had plenty of rich men that gave the money generously and so forth and so on. He built this fine church, and I kept wondering how many people had been saved. I didn't wonder how many had joined, because he told me about that. He talked about how many members had taken in since they built this new church. They'd got a lot of people, you know, they hadn't had before. It came around there to join, you know. They built a fine church, you know. So many of them, you know, they don't want to be in the big church, you know, and so forth and so on. And I happened to know it down the street was a simple little place. Not much, you know, but every Wednesday night somebody was being saved, see. If I wanted to hear about Jesus, I wouldn't have gone to that big, fine church. I'd have gone down the street there. I remember somebody told a story about Bishop Marvin, that saintly old Christian, that one day somebody, a young fellow, was converted and under his ministry, led him to the Lord, and he was in a big downtown church, and he said, the young fellow said, now listen, he said to the young fellow, if I were you, I'd go down here and join this little mission church down here, because they talk about Jesus down there, and you're going to need all the help you can get. And I'd go down there and grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, men and women, let's get back to the Lord Jesus Christ. We've gone so far afield. We've wandered so far away from Him. We have such a poor conception of Him. We build our machinery and our organization with a world of sin, with big membership. We've forgotten that the Holy Spirit came down to on the day of Pentecost to talk about Jesus. And there it was, just a little crowd, a little handful of them. And when the Holy Ghost came, they went everywhere telling people, Jesus Christ isn't dead. Jesus Christ has been raised from the dead. He died for our sins according to Scripture. And God Almighty stopped Paul on the Damascus Road and knocked all of the narrowness and littleness and prejudice out of him and sent him out as apostle of the Gentiles. And what he did for the world, men and women, the Holy Spirit's here. He's on this earth. But you know, there's so many voices we have drowned out, the voice of God. The voice of ecclesiasticism, the voice of machinery, the voice of organization, the jingle of coin, all the clamor of our day. We well nigh drowned out the voice of God in the midst of the age. And we think of Jesus as a teacher, and we think he's nice to have around sometime, and he's a wonderful person, all that. But you know, the Holy Spirit talks about Jesus as a Savior. He tells us that here's your Savior, your only Savior. Nobody can save but Jesus. And that's the message of the Holy Ghost. That was the message of the sermon on the day of Pentecost. It was Jesus Christ. And that's the message today. We preach Christ crucified, or the Jews a stumbling block, or the Greek foolishness. But it's always Christ who died for our sins according to Scripture. God help us to magnify and to be faithful to Him. Help us to be true to Him. And He, one that loved us and died for us. Our Father, we thank Thee for the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us to love Him. Help us to be true to Him. Help us not to forget Him in the midst of all the excitement of the world. We pray in His precious name. Amen.
You have just heard Dr. Bob Jones, Sr., internationally known evangelist and founder of Bob Jones University, who during his earthly ministry was one of God's great warriors for the faith. This program is sponsored by Bob Jones University.